We're looking at 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 in this lesson. 1 John chapter 5, let's begin reading in verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. We're going to be talking in this lesson about the relationship between loving God and keeping God's commandments. But first, let's look at verse 1, where John says that whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is absolutely necessary to salvation. John chapter 3, verse 16 teaches this, and many other passages of Scripture. The Bible shows us what it means to believe that Jesus is the Christ. It doesn't just mean to believe it in one's mind. It means to believe it in the sense that one believes it and one is willing to accept and obey it. The Bible tells us that faith without works is dead, James 2, verse 19. So what we find in the Bible is what it means to be born again. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 5, that to be born again means to be born of water and of the Spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." To be born of God is not simply to believe in one's mind that Jesus is the Christ. There were many people that believed that Jesus was the Messiah who were not saved. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But in verse 44, the Bible tells us that Jesus referred to those same Jews who believed on him as children of the devil. In John 12, 42 and 43, the Bible says that, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." So these chief rulers believed on Jesus, but they would not confess him. And Jesus plainly said in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, that if we're not willing to confess him, he will not confess us before his Father which is in heaven. So there were people in Bible times that believed in Jesus, but they were not willing to obey him. The Bible tells us that when people were lost in the first century, they were told to believe, but they were also told to repent. Acts 2:38 says, "Repent and be baptized." Acts 17:30 says that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. The Bible plainly says that we are to confess, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And the Bible plainly teaches that we are to be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. Now, the question that sometimes people raise is this: why does John only mention believing here if you also have to repent, you also have to confess, and you also have to be baptized? Because this is a common Bible way of saying things. Sometimes the Bible takes one of those steps in the plan of salvation to represent the whole. And so believing here includes repentance. Believing here includes confessing. Believing here includes being baptized. This is a part put for the whole. So when he says that whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, he is not excluding repentance, even though he does not specifically mention repentance. And if that is true of repentance, it is also true of confession, and it is also true of baptism. Notice that he goes on to say in verse 1, that everyone that loves him that begat, that is God. God is the one who begets us, loves him also that is begotten of him. The person that is begotten of him is the person who has been converted. This is a Christian person. So John says, if you truly love God, then you are going to love the brethren. It just follows because we're in that family. If God is our Father and we truly love God, then we're certainly going to love his children. In verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God. Now notice these words. How do we know that we love the children of God? He's been talking about that in several ways in this book. He talked about it at length in chapter 3, and now he's summarizing what it means to truly love Christian people. By this, we know that we love the children of God. Number one, when we love God, and number two, and keep his commandments. Now then, let's notice what the Bible says in verse 3 about loving God and keeping his commandments. In verse 3, the Bible says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." The Bible does not divide loving God and keeping his commandments. The Bible does not teach that loving God has nothing to do with keeping his commandments. The Bible joins those two together. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John 14, verse 15. And the Bible here says, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." There are many religious people today, and some even church-going people, who say that the love of God has nothing to do with keeping God's commandments. Sometimes they say, if you really love God, it's not about his commandments. Or they say that if you're trying to keep God's commandments, then you're not really motivated by love. But that is not what John said. John said, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And so we're not going to be able to say, I love God, while we're not keeping his commandments. In fact, that is an insult to God Almighty. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" So again, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, verse 15. Now, he observes something here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, about the commandments of God that Christian people need to keep in mind. And that is, he says, his commandments are not grievous. The word grievous here means burdensome. John is saying that if we love God, then keeping God's commandments is not a burden to us. Sometimes you might have to do something and you consider it to be a burden. You have to make yourself do it and you don't enjoy doing it. But if we love God, keeping the commandments of the Bible is not something that we ordinarily have to make ourselves do. It's not something that we don't enjoy. It's not a burden that we have to carry around. The Bible says God's commands are not like that. Now, to selfish people, to rebellious people, the commandments of God are a burden because they don't love God. And the Bible shows us that many times, even God's people considered God's commandments a burden. For instance, in 1 Kings chapter 12, we read about Jeroboam the king making changes in the law of God about worship. In 1 Kings 12, verse 26, Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam king of Judah." Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel." Notice what he said. It is too much for you to have to go all the way to Jerusalem to do sacrifice. And so he made these golden calves. He put the one in Dan and the other in Bethel because he said it was too hard. It was too much of a burden for these people to travel. That's the attitude of looking at God's commands like they're some kind of burden. In Isaiah chapter 43, we read that the people of Israel again thought that keeping God's commandments was a burden. In Isaiah 43, verse 22, the Bible says, "But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me." God says, "You are tired of me." He says, "You have not brought me the small cattle of your burnt offerings. You have not honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense." God says, "I have not been too hard on you," even though God's people thought that he was putting too much on them. But here's what God ended up saying. God said, "But you have made me to serve with your sins, and you have wearied me with your iniquities." In other words, God says, "There's something about you that I'm tired of. If you think that you're tired of worshiping me and serving me, just know that I'm tired of your sins." Now that's Isaiah 43, verse 22 through 24. And then in Malachi chapter 1, here's what Malachi the prophet said to the people of Israel. He said, "You said also," and this was the attitude of these Israelites, "Behold, what a weariness it is." What were they talking about? They were talking about worship. And God required that they gave the best in their worship. But these Israelites were tired of giving their best, and so they gave the leftovers. And as a result, their attitude was that they were tired of doing their best and doing what God said for them to do. Now that's Malachi chapter 1, verse 13. If we truly love God, then we're not going to resent God's commandments. We're not going to get tired of doing what God tells us to do. We're going to enjoy doing what God commands us to do. God's commandments are not a burden. They are not grievous. And why should they be? How could we look at God's commandments as some kind of heavy load? If we truly love God, then how can we resent or get tired of doing what God tells us to do? When we look at the Bible and look at what Jesus did for us, how can we look at the load that we're carrying in life as some kind of grievous load? The Bible says to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds. That's Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3. When we think that we have a heavy load to bear, we need to look at Jesus so that we don't get tired and faint. For instance, the Bible tells us to worship God, but we don't need to look at worship as some kind of burden to bear. We ought to have the attitude of Psalm 122, verse 1. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." The Bible tells us to give, but we shouldn't consider that a burden. We ought to have the attitude that is talked about in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. "Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." The Bible tells us to help the sick. The Bible tells us to teach other people. The Bible tells us to do many things. And these commandments of God are not a burden. They are not grievous when we truly love God.